Nerd Talk.
All you want, but what's my opinion? But I won't compromise who I am. I will become your program man.
Okay, this is a special edition podcast about Senator Al Franken and his disgusting behavior with this Van Tweeden on the USO tour. The Democrats are now demanding that he step down. And I agree. This is an article from, and it's by Alex Rote and Katie Gluet, McClatchy, Washington Bureau, Tribune Washington Bureau, Thursday, November 16, 2017. Franken forces Democrats to confront their own sexual scandals. Washington. Democrats called Al Franken's behavior unacceptable and returned his campaign donations and hinted that absent a satisfying explanation in response to the sexual harassment allegations, they'd eventually demand he resign. Anything less would risk catastrophic for a party that stakes its political reputation on fighting for women, especially one that is just now 20 years after the fact grappling with its unyielding support of Bill Clinton, the rapist. As Roger Stone has reported in his book and his t-shirt, Bill Clinton is a rapist. Sexual harassment is never acceptable and must not be tolerated, said Democratic Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. I hope and expect that the Ethics Committee will fully investigate the troubling incident as they should with any credible allegation of sexual harassment. Talk show host Leanne Tweeden on Thursday, accused Franken of sexually assaulting her during an overseas USO tour in 2006. 3 years before he became a Democratic senator from Minnesota, she said Franken forcefully kissed her and later posed for a photo in which he groped her chest while she slept. His pig grabbed her breast during his sleep. As you know, a few days ago, I was ranting about Al Franken. This piece of filth wants to censor the internet. And now we see why he wants to censor the internet. You see, he don't want people being able to report the truth about him because he's a perverted pig that sexually assaults women. And I'm sure this story is one of the nightmares that he hoped would never come to the forefront, but finally has came to the forefront. Hopefully, it is the end of Al Franken. I hope he does have to step down. And as far as Roy Moore is concerned, the more I'm learning about that, I'm starting to think to distance myself from him, because just like the Republicans, and it's not because I'm really believe these women, because they don't have any evidence like they do with Al Franken. But I've seen a story here. In sex crimes and other cases, Roy Moore often sided with defendants. And this is, of course, the New York Times. And these people are kind of out to get Roy Moore. And there's a reason they were out to get him. He always stood for the restoring God in the schools, and he stood up against abortion. But if he's as bad as they're saying he is, going after 16-year-olds, that's not kind of good. I mean, I know they done it in the old days. We are talking about 35 years ago. If it was 18-year-olds, that's the legal age, and people can say things about that if they want to. This ain't legal. The 22-year-old an 18-year-old, I don't count that as a deviant thing, even though it might be seen. It seems kind of he was a little too old. Like, he was 35 years old, 35 years old. Roy Moore, the cowboy hat-wearing Republican, running for the Senate in Alabama, has been known for years as an attention-grabbing judge who blocked same-sex marriages and insisted on displaying the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. But as women have accused Mr. Moore of sexual misconduct and assault in recent days, and as politicians in both parties have urged him to step aside, attention has focused on another part of his judicial record, his writings on rape and sexual abuse. Let's see what they are. Democrats and news outlets have noted, sometimes with scandalous subtext, that Mr. Moore dissented from the Alabama Supreme Court's majority in several instances to side with a person accused of sexual crimes. While that is true, the opinions are part of a distinct judicial record that is sharply conservative on social issues, but have occasionally sympathetic to the convicted criminals. Mr. Moore has expressed concern over the years about mandatory life sentences for nonviolent crimes, and only suggested that a death row inmate might not be getting a fair shake in the court system. He constantly was more interested in the arguments of criminal defendants than many of his colleagues, said Matt Limbrick, a appellate lawyer in Birmingham, who has argued several cases in front of Mr. Moore. And I think that stemmed from a distrust of government power reflected in his judicial philosophy. Here is a closer look at Mr. Moore's two stints as Chief Justice on the state Supreme Court. He sided with the accused in sex cases more often than his colleagues did. During the Republican primary this year, Mr. Moore's opponent, Senator Luther Strange, released an advertisement condemning the Chief Justice's dissent in support of Eric L. Hyden, a teenager convicted of sexually assaulting a younger boy at a daycare center and was sentenced to 23 years in prison. Unbelievably, Roy Moore was the only no vote in the 8-1 decision that advertisement said, as images of children flashed on the screen of anonymous music played in the background. In that dissent, Mr. Moore put forth a legalistic argument that while Mr. Higdon was guilty of one form of sodomy and another sodomy law used to convict him was never meant to apply to abuse of children by other children. Mr. Moore wrote that sodomy is an abhorrent crime and should be strictly punished, but that I am concerned that the court is stepping into the shoes of the legislator in this case. In recent days, several other dissents on Mr. Moore in the sex case have been highlighted, including at least two in which he questioned the application of Alabama's Shield for sexual assault victims, which limits the ability of defendants to introduce evidence of the victim's past sexual behavior. So, this was by Mitch Smith and Kitty Bennett, the New York Times, Friday, November 17th, 2017. And here's my comments on this. You see, this is why people who commit what could be conscribed as a sexual crime, he went after teenagers. These people, and I say this lightly because they are suing, they've got an attorney, and I'm not trying to smear his name. I'm just commenting on what I'm reading and what's been said, and that this is all lies to take him down. I'm against it. I'm going to go on the record and say that because I don't have the hate guide philosophy that a lot of these, like the New York Times and them. These people hate guide. They don't want to see guide back in the schools. They don't want to see the Ten Commandments. They don't want to. And the Ten Commandments reminds us that we should try to live right. the Christian is under the law. Those are all Jewish laws. But it is an example of the way we should live. Jesus died for every one of our sins that we can commit. Therefore, we're not held to the law like everybody else is, but it's good that you do good. It makes you a better, the more you follow a philosophy to be better, that don't mean you're ever going to be able to make the mark. You can't keep it. That's the reason he had to die for you anyway, if you're a Christian, if you believe that. That's what I believe. I believe that he's Jesus Christ, he's Lord and Savior, he's guide, who came here in the flesh. And I'm going on record, it's my belief. And I believe that you're saved by Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the Ten Commandments is a representation of just how to live. And how not to... And if you really look at it, it is... And the Constitution was based on it too, by the way. These people, they just hate guides so much, and there's a reason. The Communist Manifesto wanted to do away with all guides, do away with all statues, and that's why you send an attack on statues of our history. So if they can erase history, they can rewrite history. And it don't matter if it's a good history or a bad history. You want to keep it. You want to keep it as a reminder. Because they can rewrite history so they can control what you think, what you say, what you feel. And the Ten Commandments is a thing that we should strive to not break as many as we can break. You're never going to make it. But you should try. There's nothing good with telling people not to steal. There's nothing bad. I'm not meaning to say good. It's good to tell people not to steal. It's good to tell people not to kill. It's good to tell people not to go after other people's wives. It's good to tell people all this stuff. We should try to live by those things. That don't mean you have to necessarily follow it, but you should strive to be better. I mean, it's not even about religion. I mean, if you think about them Ten Commandments, there's some good things in them. I mean, you might want to take out, if you didn't believe in God and you wouldn't want to take out, and you had something you believed in, you might want to throw away the, I don't have no idols before God, even though that's good to me. I try not to have any idols. If I've made an idol out of things, it's been by mistake. And maybe they aren't, because the idol in your life is something you put before God. So there probably was a time that music probably was a unintended guide to me because I always stuck my nose in it. But I don't worship anything, and I don't worship any man. There's only one man that I see worthy of worship, and that's Jesus Christ. He's probably the best man. The best man that ever walked on this earth. And I don't have to worry about any time restraints on this podcast, so I'm going to just let it be as long as it can be. And I'm going to play some clips from both Alex Jones and CNN about this Celian tweeter who was sexually assaulted by this behemoth Al Franken that I went on a rant about the other day in one of my podcasts. But I wanted to go ahead and get it recorded because I'm going to schedule it. See, now I have to schedule them. I can't call them in anymore. I don't have access to the studio. I upgraded my Blog Talk Radio to a paid account. I took the lowest package. That's all I could afford. I'm not getting any advertising dollars or anything. I do all this stuff at my own cost. Like when I put out my albums, and I'm going to start focusing. I'm going to do a full podcast on my music one day. I'm thinking about doing it in an interview style and then play some songs. And I'm going to have a robotic voice asking the questions and I'm going to answer them. See, I don't have anybody to ask me, so I'm just going to... It's going to be a sort of self-described interview, interviews are interviews anyway. I mean, you go before them and it's going to be sort of like to learn a little bit about my music, and it's not going to be like I'm covering up anything, so it doesn't matter that it's from my point of view. But I thought that was the best way to present it, and that's what I'm thinking about doing. I'm going to do it here in the next few days. It's interesting, though, that this number of this disgusting Al Franken episode is number 69. That's the number of this podcast. I mean, isn't it just funny how things turned out that the day I decided to discuss this and Roy Moore, and if Roy Moore was using his deviancy to excuse sexual crimes, he wasn't worthy of being a judge. He should have been removed from the bench. Because that's the reason they tell you not to be compromised anyway. That's the whole reason that even the Bible tells you not to be compromised. And I know humanity is humanity. And a lot of that stems from it's mentally, it's hereditary. Like usually it runs in family lines. It's also about discipline, about self-discipline. And about being a man, normally men are that way, and some people, at times people excuse that, whether they should or shouldn't. They do, they say, oh, that's just the way a man is. It's behavioral, but still, he was compromised as a judge. If he let, if he was going to let this boy off, and he was the only one that voted against it for sodomizing a young boy, that's terrible. That's disgusting. So I don't know if I'm going to be supporting Roy Moore anymore. If he was just running after younger women, like if he liked 18 to 20-something year olds when he was 35, and that's his type of woman, and it was in the legal realms of me, that'd be too young for me. I would kind of want a woman probably from anywhere from the 25 to 27 area up to my age. That would be my preferred bracket. I'd feel like the other ones would be too young. I don't mean if I was going out with somebody, that don't mean that I liked them and I liked them as a person. I wouldn't discriminate against them because they was younger, like say if that's 24, 23, somewhere around there. I wouldn't discriminate. But I'm just trying to say, I'd feel too old for an 18-year-old. That just feel creepy to me. Feels creepy. It would just be creepy to me to be with a teenage person. I mean, that's my personal view. So, I'm just saying. But if that was his bracket, I wouldn't judge him for that, even though I feel like it's creepy for me. I wouldn't judge him because it's legal. It's the legal age. I mean, they got legal ages for reasons. But if he's going after 16-year-olds, and some states that's not legal. Some states it is legal. Some states, if you have parental permission, it's legal, and I don't know what Alabama's statutes are. I think it's illegal in Georgia, I'm pretty sure. I'm not real sure about this. I think it is. I'd have to look it up. I think it's considered assault on a minor. Of course, that may be below 15. I'm not sure what the... But still, it's creepy. Alex Jones said that it's creepy. He's right. It's very, very creepy. And I'm conservative about that as well. Because like I said, my areas would be, the cutoff date would probably be about 25 years. Going into 25, 26, 27. I would probably cut off there. Unless I really, really liked the person if I was dating people. I'm just giving my opinion. So I'm going to take a break and I'm going to go to these two clips I'm going to play. And I'll be back with the conclusion of this podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm on Blog Talk Radio now. I've got a bigger forefront, and if you're listening to me, spread the word if you like me. I'm going to try to get better. I'm kind of unprofessional. I'm going to try to tone down my rhetoric some, because Stone Cold Steve Austin is fine, but it's not really good when it comes to podcasting. I mean, talking about being... I don't want to be a gentleman. That's not my goal. I'm not one of these... I don't care. I want to be to the blunt, and I want to say things, and I want it to be colorful. Like I went on the other day, I'm colorful. But at the same time, I want to be more professional, too. I want my podcast to be professional. I'm trying to get better, because I've always loved talk radio, and I want people to pay attention to me. I don't want people to just rue me off some old reeling redneck. So here we go. I'm going to close, and I'll be back after the videos, which are now audio. So thank you for listening. APFNS on Twitter. APSR Music on Instagram. Our first clip we are going to load here is from CNN, CNN News. And I know it's CNN, but this is a copy of the testimony of the girl and her speaking about what Al Franken, what this dirty dog, did to her. So here we go.
Capitol Hill right now involving this time Democratic Senator Al Franken of Minnesota. He's now apologizing publicly after being accused of groping and kissing a colleague of his without consent about a decade or so ago. Senator Franken is calling for an ethics investigation into his actions. His accuser, Leanne Tweeden, is speaking right now. Listen to this.
We have the first show in Kuwait is where we were for the first show. We had a little backstage area, and they had it sort of cordoned off. And we were backstage alone because he's like, okay, we're going to get ready. And then they sort of introduce us. We come through a little backstage door, and then we open up into the crowd on the stage. And the backstage area was actually part of the gym because that's just sort of how these makeshift places are on these bases. So this little gym, we had this one little corner kind of like this with these little curtains, and they just sort of cordoned off this little area. So it was just me and Al backstage, and he had his little props for the rest of his show, for the rest of his little skits by himself. And he's like, well, we need to practice the kissing scene. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I just sort of blew him off because I didn't, like, we don't need to practice the kissing scene. It's just a quick little thing, you know. And then he persisted, and he's like, no, we really need to practice the kissing scene. And like, okay, Al, you just turn your head right. I'll turn my head right. We got this, you know, whatever. And he kept persisting, and I'm like, Al, this isn't SNL. We're not really going to kiss, so we don't really have to practice. And he just kept persisting, and it just reminded me of, like, the Harvey Weinstein tape that you heard the girl when she was wired up for the New York, the NYPD, and he just persistent and badgering and just relentless, you know? And so I was just like, okay, fine, just so he would shut up, you know? And he just sort of came at me, and we did the line, and he came at me, and before you even know it, I mean, you kind of get close, and he just put his hand on the back of my head, and he mashed his face against, I mean, it happened so fast, and he just mashed his lips against my face, and he stuck his tongue in my mouth so fast, and all I can remember is that his lips were really wet, and it was slimy. In my mind, I called him fish lips the rest of the trip because that's just what it reminded me of. I don't know why. And he stuck his tongue down my mouth. And I remember I pushed him off with my hands. And I just remember I almost punched him. So, because every time I see him now, like, my hands clench into fists. And I'm sure that's probably why. And I said, if you ever do that to me again, I'm not going to be so nice about it the second time. And I just walked out away from him, and I walked out, and I just wanted to find a bathroom, and I just wanted to rinse my mouth out because I was just disgusted, you know. It was just one of those, I don't know, I was violated. I just felt like, you know, he betrayed my trust, and it obviously that is not what I wanted, and that's, I felt like he wrote that just to get that piece in because he knew he wasn't going to get it on stage, and that was why he was badgering me to do it then when we were alone, because that's what he wanted. And then, you know, 5 minutes later we had to go out on stage, and I always joke, I've never been an actress, so people always think when you're in Hollywood, I was a model and then I was a television host, and people are like, oh, you're an actress. I've never been an actress. That's a whole different set of talent, and I don't act. And I had to be an actress. You know, I had to go out on stage with this guy who just did this to me 5 minutes before and act like he's my best friend and Al Franken, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the greatest thing ever, and do our lines, and trust me, he didn't even get close to my face when we had to come in for the kissing scene. And it's funny because when this whole Harvey Weinstein thing came out in the last, like, 2 weeks, when I was deciding, is this the time I tell my story? And I was just looking online and trying to find videos and, you know, recalling everything that happened in my mind from this time 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And I found a blog of a soldier who was at one of our shows in Afghanistan or Iraq. And he just talks about his experience at the show just as a guy in the audience. And he said, you know, Al Franken and Leanne Tweeden were great co-MCs, and Al told a couple of jokes, and then Al goes in for a kiss or more from Leanne and fails. And I just thought, yeah, that's exactly what happens. And he failed every time, because that's what happens on stage. And, you know, I thought it would be, the joke would always have been to me, the funny part was, it would have been like Al would have, you know, in my mind, Al would have just come in for a kiss and I would have turned my face, or I would have put my hand on his mouth. And that would have been the funny part, right? That would have been like this old guy coming in for the kiss from the hot girl or whatever. You know, the skit would have been to these young troops, and it would have been funny because it was comedy, right? Obviously, it turned out completely different. But, you know, so I had to act my way through the rest of the shows for the next 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks. And I just made sure I was never alone with him again. I didn't tell the Sergeant Major of the Army what happened. I didn't tell our USO rep, because what was I going to do? Be the troublemaker? Be like, okay, I'm going to MC every part of the show for the hour except the 10 minutes I'm on stage with Al. You know, I just sucked it up. I'm a strong girl. I'm a sportscaster, so I deal with guys every day. I'm just going to fake it and act like an actress and do this part with him, and then not talk to him for the rest of rest of the tour. I mean, it was a big tour with a lot of people. I didn't socialize with him. I didn't talk to him for the rest of the tour. I made sure I was never alone with him again. I mean, we're in tight quarters, but there were a lot of people around, so I just made sure I was never alone with him again. And so I didn't have to deal with him in that respect again, other than when we were on stage. And then, you know, little petty things that I had to deal with, just snide comments. We would do autograph sessions after the shows. Of course, they would set up tables. And because there would be sometimes thousands of troops at an event, and we would only have so much time, so there would be long tables for all the, you know, the country music artists and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, who were very popular, by the way. And then instead of like trying to have a single file line of, you know, 1,000 guys trying to come down and get everybody's autograph, they would open it up to where everybody, if you wanted somebody's certain autograph and there was only time for people to wait in one line, they would just open it up to where people could just stand in the line that they would want, instead of filing it through like this. So sometimes there would be, honest to God, nobody in Al Franken's line. So people would line up. The girls would have long lines. Some of the country music artist guys would have long lines. So I would always be sat next to Al, because that's just how they always set it up. And so I would always sort of have my back to him and whatever, and I'd be sitting next to the other people. And we'd have lines, and we would sign autographs. And, I mean, it was just hours of signing and taking pictures with troops. And one time he didn't have people in his line, and I would see things out of the corner of my eye, and I'd see, you know, like a hand and a picture, one of my autograph pictures go like this, and you know, and I would look over one time, and, you know, one time I would just see, and a picture would come back, and it would be, you know, my face with devil horns and the devil tail and the pitchfork and the goatee. And, you know, I mean, these are the things I'm dealing with, right? Like, he draws me as the devil. I'm like, okay, childish, belittling, whatever. It's just like, that's 2 weeks of this is what I'm getting at. Sorry. And so whatever. So I make it through the 2 weeks of that. And then we're on our way home. We leave, pretty sure it's Bagram Air Base. We're leaving out of Afghanistan. And every time you take off from a base when you're in the middle of combat, you always wear a Kevlar helmet and a flak vest. Because when you leave from in the middle of a war zone, you do wear your gear, because small arms fire, or even an RPG like a rocket propelled grenade, can pierce the armor or pierce the skin of an airplane. And so a lot of times you either sit on Kevlar or you wear it, because you can be shot at through a plane. So you're wearing it as you take off until you get high enough altitude where you're out of that reach, and then you can take it off. So I'm wearing it. I fall asleep, because I can fall asleep usually before the plane even takes off. So I'm sleeping up against the side of the plane. And in the photo, if you see the photo, beside me is Mark Wills, a country singer. He's also asleep. So I'm sleeping, which anybody that knows me, I sleep anywhere, anytime. So I'm asleep. there are photographers on the trip, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the photographer of the tour that took the picture, but they give you CDs as you leave that have, you know, behind the scenes photos of you on the entire tour that they give you when you leave. And I get this and I open it up when I get home. I probably opened it the next day, and it was a photo of Al doing his, you know, this on my breast, like looking at the camera, just kind of smirking and smiling, like, hey, look at me. And I took that as the, you know, the final, like, like I got the last laugh. You know, I mean, he knew I wouldn't see it until I got home and, you know, was away from everybody else. You know, like I said, the to know it in the context of the entire trip and what happened in the entire 2 weeks is telling to me, and just the fact that he just thought he could get away with it and that it was okay and that it was funny. And, you know, I knew all these years later that, oh, well, I thought it was going to be funny. You know, I thought, you know, oh, the comedian, I thought it was going to be I thought it was a joke. I was in bad taste, or I thought it was going to be funny, and I guess it wasn't, or, you know, it was poor taste or whatever. I mean, nothing like that is ever funny. I mean, is it funny if he does that to your sister or your daughter or your wife? I mean, that's just all of those things. But like I said, in context of already assaulting me backstage and all the little petty things he was doing to belittle me and how he treated me and sort of, you know, in succession, and then it ended with that, and then how I was left to feel like without being able to say whatever I needed to say to his face, that's how I, you know, I'm like, oh, great, while I was sleeping you do that to me, and then I can't even say anything to him. So that's just sort of how it all happened and how it finished.
So what he says in his statement,
all right, strong words from Leanne Tweeden. She's a radio anchor, KABC Radio in Los Angeles, making these allegations, saying that the senator from Minnesota, Al Franken, kissed and groped her without consent a decade or so ago during a USO tour in the Middle East. He has now formally apologized. He's acknowledged that all of what she is saying, basically, he has now acknowledged doing. I want to go to CNN's MJ Lee. She's up on Capitol Hill, where we're getting a lot of reaction to these truly explosive allegations. Now, what, bipartisan calls for an ethics innovation investigation? Actually, MJ, hold on for a second. See, Abby.
Now we are going to turn to a clip from InfoWars.com. Here we go. This is Alex Jones commenting on the same subject.
Yeah, it was a couple days ago, Roger Stone said, get ready to learn about Senator Al Franken grabbing a woman and forcing his tongue down her throat. That he told me sit on the story, but he's going to be joining us coming up in the next hour to give us more details of it. But here's the bottom line. Leanne Tweeden has a photo of Al Franken while she's asleep grabbing her breast when she was part of the USO of entertainers and journalists and other people that were flying over there to be entertainment for the troops and for the sailors and the airmen, like her husband that's in the military. And he assaulted her, according to her, behind closed doors. She then stayed away from him for the several weeks they were overseas in the Middle East. And then on the flight back, he did it again and photographed it. And it was part of the official USO photo package they sent around to members of it, like it was a joke. And who was in charge? Al Franken. He decided to leave that in there and then give her a copy. That's the Harvey Weinstein, the Al Franken arrogance, the Bill Clinton arrogance. And I'm here to tell you, he needs to step down now. Well, if you go to drudgereport.com or newswars.com or infowars.com, you can see the photo substantiating what this woman is saying. We're going to play the audio of her testimony coming up in the next segment. Senator Al Franken kissed and groped me without my consent, and there's nothing funny about it. Now, according to leftist ideology, coming up and not announcing that you're going to try to grab somebody and kiss them and grope them is assault and extreme rape. Because according to the left and modern feminism, male and females having sex, even though they're married, is rape. I'm not joking. All sex is rape and is violent if it's heterosexual. Heterosexualism that produces children and population is bad, according to the eugenics program, so the general public doesn't procreate. You're saying, well, that doesn't make sense. Statistically, homosexual couples have higher degrees of abuse, family violence, suicide, you name it. I'm not attacking these groups. It's just a fact. Higher levels of depression, higher levels of domestic violence, higher levels of suicide. But it doesn't matter. Heterosexualism is evil. Normal courtship, asking a woman out, is harassment. Even if you don't work with her, even if you, you know, it just doesn't matter, period. It's bad. So by extension, Kevin Spacey grabbing other members of the cast genitals, well, oh, that's just the same as asking a girl out, according to Hollywood. And so Al Franken now, in new sex accusations, quote, he kissed and groped me. And then there's a photo of the very trip that it's being talked about of him doing it with a reporter that is asleep on the flight over making his jokes. In December 2006, I embarked on my ninth USO tour to entertain our troops, my eighth in the Middle East since the 9/11 attacks. My father served in Vietnam, and my then boyfriend and now husband, Chris, is a pilot in the Air Force. So bringing a little piece of home to service members stationed far away from their families was both my passion and my privilege. Also on the trip, there were country music artists. And it goes over Daryl Worley, Mark Wills, Kenny Thomas, and some cheerleaders from the Dallas Cowboys. The headliner was comedian and now Senator Al Franken. Franken had written some skits for the show and brought props and costumes to go along with them. Like many USO shows before and since, the skits were full of sexual innuendo geared towards young male audience. As a TV host and sports broadcaster, we can go to Infowars.com and punch it up there. There we did. As a TV host and sports broadcaster, as well as a model familiar to the audience from the covers of FHM, Maximum Playboy, I was only expecting to MC and introduce the acts, but Franken said he had a part for me that he thought would be funny, and I agreed to play along. When I saw the script, Franken had written a moment when the character comes at me for a kiss. I suspected what he was after, but I figured I would turn my head and at the last minute put my hand on my mouth to get more laughs from the crowd. On the day of the show, Franken and I were alone backstage going over our lines. One last time, he said to me, "We need to rehearse the kiss." I laughed and ignored him. Then he said it again. I said something like, "Relax, Al, this isn't SNL. We don't need to rehearse the kiss." He continued to insist that I was beginning to get uncomfortable. He repeated that actors really need to rehearse everything. This is just like Weinstein, and that we must practice the kiss. I said, okay. So he would stop badgering me. We did the line leading up to the kiss, and then he came at me, put his hand down the back of my hand, mashed his lips against mine, and aggressively stuck his tongue in my mouth. Well, at least you didn't bite your lip to keep you from resisting like Bill Clinton would do and then start choking you. But again, he is a Democrat, so I guess it's okay. I immediately pushed him away with both my hands against my chest and told him, if you ever did that to me again, I wouldn't be so nice the next time. I walked away. All I could think about was getting to a bathroom as fast as possible to rinse the taste of him out of my mouth. I felt disgusted, and I felt violated. Not long after, I performed the skit as written, carefully turning my head so he couldn't kiss me on the lips. No one saw what happened backstage. I didn't tell the sergeant major of the Army, who was the sponsor of the tour. I didn't tell the USO rep what happened. At the time, I didn't want to cause trouble. We're in the middle of a war zone. It was the first show of our holiday tour. I was professional, and I could take care of myself. I told a few others on the tour what Franken had done, and they knew how I felt about it. I tried to let it go, but I was angry. Other than our dialogue on stage, I never had a voluntary conversation with Al Franken again. I avoided him as much as possible, and I made sure I never was alone with him again for the rest of the tour. Franken repaid me with petty insults, including drawing devil horns on at least one of the headshots I was autographing for the troops. But he didn't stop there. The tour ended, and on Christmas Eve, we began a 36-hour trip home to L.A. After 2 weeks of grueling traveling and performing, I was exhausted. When our C-17 cargo plane took off from Afghanistan, I immediately fell asleep, even though I was still wearing my flak vest and Kevlar helmet. It wasn't until I was back in the U.S. looking through the CD of photos we were given by the photographer that I saw this one. And it's Al Franken simulating grabbing her breasts. In fact, I actually think he is grabbing them. One of the hands isn't touching. The other appears to be. I couldn't believe it. He groped me without my consent while I was asleep. I felt violated all over again, embarrassed, belittled, humiliated. How dare anyone grab my breast like this and think it's funny? And you can see one of the hands is grabbing her breast. It's right there. You can see it. The other one looks like he's touching her. I told my husband everything that happened and showed him the picture. I wanted to shout my story to the world with a megaphone to anyone who would listen. But even as angry as I was worried about the potential backlash and damage going public might have on my career as a broadcaster. But that was then, this is now. I'm no longer afraid. And she goes on, we need to get her on the show. Today, I am the news anchor of McErdle in the morning on KABC. Am I pronouncing her name right? In Los Angeles. My colleagues are some of the most supportive people I've ever worked with in my career. Like everyone in the media, we've been reporting on Harvey Weinstein's sexual misconduct allegations since they broke and the flood of similar stories that have come out. And then she just goes into why she's done it and what a hypocrite Franken is and how she heard about what Weinstein did and how he basically did the exact same thing to her. But the bigger issue here is this. Al Franken is the one pushing all of the conservatives are evil and heterosexuals are bad and Christians are bad and Judge Roy Moore and all the rest of this stuff. And Hollywood needs to police everybody and they're the moral high ground when he's some washed up loser actor comedian. And he came out in the news just this week and called for conservative media to be banned online, on social media. We can put the headline on screen. He came out, Al Franken, and said, we want to censor conservative media on social media. That was on the heels of hearings just previous to that last week where they called specifically for InfoWars to be censored. And Twitter, Facebook, and others, YouTube, admitted they were doing it. I mean, it's incredible. These people are the biggest hypocrites out there, and they're the ones pushing regular courtship being assault, but then covering up for all the real assaults.
So there you have it, listeners. I thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy my show. And I'm now on blogtalkradio.com. You can find it on rockandroll100fm.com. My handles are APFNS on Twitter. That's where you can mainly find me on social media. I have an APSR Music on Instagram, but my main spot will be Twitter for now. And if they delete my Twitter, and I'm sure they will eventually, I'll give you the new one at the time when I have to go back to making a new Twitter. But right now you can find me on APFNS on Twitter. So, thank you for listening. Spread the word about my podcast, and a new episode should appear. I'm going to schedule them for 7:30 p.m. Normally, they're 30 minutes. It looks like this one was a big, long one because I've got two clips from credits, Infowars.com, and CNN. and I downloaded the CNN off YouTube, and I'm not sure whose YouTube channel, but it doesn't matter because it belongs to CNN. It was their, it was stripped from their audio, recorded from their television show. So there you have it. Thanks for listening, and my opinion on Al Franken, he needs to go. He's a pervert. That's disgusting. Old fish lips needs to go. Thank you for listening.
You say you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on the string. Never compromise.
Thank you for listening to the APS show on rockandroll100fm.com. The Duck. Quack. 2017 All Rights Reserved.